Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN1050.
Brian Hayes, Gord Miller, going to head across the pond, or jump across the pond, and catch up with our boy, Mark Masters. He's covering Wimbledon.
Rents a home. They rent a home for him in the SW19 area.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, Masters, like, were you aware of our whole trivia thing with him and Jones?
Yeah. I don't know how they ever lost that.
They lost twice, Gord. So,
like,
I think you probably underestimate how smart the O-Dog is.
No, I don't.
Because he was absolutely...
Killing it. He killed
the X Factor.
I submitted some questions for that. I put some of the questions in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you stump us? Were you following it?
Yeah, you got stumped on one of them. Yeah.
Well, the way that all came about was that Owen and I kind of are jealous of these guys that are on the road. Like Masters and Jonas were on the road all the time. And we said, you know, they're kind of wasting these great trips on you guys because you don't do anything. Like when you, like Masters is in Paris for 2 weeks. He's in London for 2 weeks. He's in New York for 2weeks. Three of the top five, 10 cities in the world. Is he taking advantage of that?
No, he eats in the hotel restaurant. We were in New York one time, and he's sitting in the back of a restaurant with his laptop. You know, like.
Working on trivia, probably, because they knew they were playing.
Looking up stuff on the internet for what. Yeah, I mean.
That bothers me. It shouldn't. It's his life, but it bothers me. Like, these are great, great events, great cities, great spots. You go to Nashville. They went to Nashville. They went out and played trivia somewhere.
Yeah. No, I know the place they went to.
Tell me you've been there.
It's a sports bar, but they have, like, the... Remember the QB1 game? Remember
Yeah. You'd go up and you'd actually take, like, this big, heavy box and you'd pump it in through the TV. And,
yeah, he, you know. But he's a... Yeah.
He's an international man of mystery, Mark Masters.
The problem is he's not...
You're right, actually. He's not at all.
The problem is he's not. Like, he should be, but he's not. Like,
he's not seasoned. Like, he's not cultured. There's nothing.
A guy who goes to London, Paris, and New York for work.
For an extended period of time, too. This isn't popping in for 48 hours. Like you just said, he has a house in London.
Yeah.
A house.
Yeah.
They don't play night matches at Wimbledon.
No. He should arrive at the All England Club at 11:59 with a hangover so bad... It would kill a lesser man.
Yes.
He should honestly reek of booze and cigarettes. Even if he doesn't smoke, you should just reek of cigarettes because you're in some pub. Because in England, you can smoke in the pub.
You can do whatever you want down there.
He should just show up like that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He should be wearing the same suit 4 days in a row.
No one's going to know. No one's going to pay attention to that. Who cares? You're talking around it. She's fine with it. Jeannie Bouchard will give you... Jeannie's a big fan of Masters.
I ran into Jeannie at a hotel in Ottawa, and she loves Mark Masters.
Yes.
She told me he's her favorite.
He's reached out to her via, like, Twitter, and she has gone back at him and been anything for you, Mark. I'm happy to do it. You want me to call in a sports center? I'm willing to call in. Problem is, no one really wants to talk to Jeannie Bouchard anymore. And if you're talking to her, you're talking more likely about her presence on Instagram or her SI swimsuit model.
The date that she went on.
Yeah, the plug that she brought to the Super Bowl.
I think they were dating for a while. Anyway, but Masters is actually, like, I've spent a lot of time on the road with him. He's not very interesting at all. Like, he's fun to talk to. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's fun to talk to.
He's a great guy, but...
He's an awesome... But Mark is not going to say, hey, you know, I found this great bar.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, if next year somehow I got lucky enough and TSN said, you're bringing Overdrive to London and I want you to track what's going on with Mark and live with Masters, and I show up over there and I go, show me what you got, man. You've been over here for years. You must know a bunch of people and places to go.
He's trying to fish and chips place across the street.
That's what I think would happen. It'd be a complete waste. Anyway, Mark's coming up. That's how you tease a guest.
After that great buildup.
Yes. He'll join us later in the hour.
He's a very good reporter.
He's the best. Love Mark Masters.
Yeah, very good report.
So, who wants to take the floor here on just carving this so-called hockey trade today?
So, today, in essence, the Chicago Blackhawks traded Marian Hossa's contract to the Arizona Coyotes. They get Marcus Kruger. There's players involved. I mean, Jordan Oster goes from Chicago down there as well. But basically, this is the Arizona Coyotes picking up the remaining time on Marian Hossa's contract, which goes through 2021. So it's a cap hit of $5.2 million. Hossa was on LTI last year. He's not going to play again. So, and of course, in recent years, the Coyotes have had Chris Pronger, David Bolin, Pavel Datsyuk, guys like that on their cap, even though they never played for Arizona. They traded for their contracts. I don't like the salary cap. I really don't like this. I really don't like this. Because there were times, Arizona players told me 2 years ago, there were times late in the season that the actual payroll of players that they had dressed was under $30 million. Like, this is gaming the system.
This is the complete opposite of what Lou Lamoriello and the Maple Leafs did the previous 3 years, where they had Robita Island set up, yeah, and they had guys in the minors.
Brooks and
they
Like.
Had,
and,
yeah. Exactly. And they had guys who just miraculously went on long-term IR, and no one heard from them again.
Joffrey Lupul,
Robita, you know, amongst others. This is the opposite, and I'm with you. This is a complete embarrassment to the Arizona Coyotes, a team that has been an embarrassment for a long time and constantly turning over owners. They don't have a ton of fans. They haven't had a lot of success on the ice. I feel for John Chajka, their GM, because he was at the draft recently, and he's trying to convince the world that they're actually in it to win it, that they want to be competitive, that they have the money, that they have the finances. If you continue to make moves like this, no one's going to trust that take. It's impossible to accept that you're in it to win it when you have Hossa, Pronger, Bolin, and Datsyuk on the payroll, and these guys don't play. And it's simply so you can hit the floor of the salary cap.
So right now, the Coyotes have a projected cap hit of $69 million, okay? More than $10 million of that, almost $11 million of it, is Bolin and Hossa, who will not play
for them. Not even show up in Arizona.
So they're basically at $58 million, which is right near the cap floor. In actual players, they're at $58
million. Right.
Like I said, I don't like the cap. I've learned to live with it, but this stuff bugs me. This is, I don't know what you do, but at some point, I mean, trading for people that are never going to play. I mean, so the Leafs have Nathan Horton on theirs. Now, the deal with that is they traded Clarkson to Columbus for Horton. The difference is Clarkson's contract is insured, so Columbus doesn't have to pay it. Horton's contract wasn't insured. So the Leafs get the long-term injury room on the cap, but they're having to pay the cash.
Yes.
What teams like Arizona are looking for is guys with those front-end loaded contracts. So either guys in LTI or guys whose cap number is $7.5 million, but they're only making $3 million this year.
Well, and it's also it's a complete circumvention of the CBA, as you pointed out, but it also is going to lead to this kind of fraudulent injury/retired type scenario to play out in the future. And I think the most obvious one that will happen is Shea Weber. Shea Weber will not play until he's 41. There is not a chance in the world. Right. And you pointed out this last week. I was not aware of this until you mentioned it and I looked it up. If he retires, like with his one year left on the deal, it's like a $24 million cap hit against Nashville?
To Nashville. Nashville takes a $24 million one-time cap charge.
There's no way it's going to happen.
No.
Because he's not going to retire.
Luongo's not going to retire.
No.
Henrik Zetterberg's not going to retire. Weber's not going to retire. They're going to go on long-term injury. They'll get paid. The team will use their long-term injury against the cap. People like to say it doesn't count against the cap. All contracts count against the cap. The difference is, a player on long-term injury, you can go over the cap by the amount of his contract.
And that's the Nathan Horton benefit as well.
Yeah, so now the Leafs haven't actually gained the benefit because they've been a little under the salary cap. The key is, so say a guy makes $5 million, okay, and you're $1 million under the cap, you can go over by $4 million to replace him. It's the amount that he puts you over the cap. So in other words, the advantage is be as close to the cap as possible to take advantage of as much of the LTI as you can. So what you'll see is, at the start of the year, teams will pack their team with contracts to be close to the cap, put the guy in LTI so they can take advantage of as much of it as possible.
Well, and it's also very complicated.
You
lose people, right? Like, you get this kind of cap manipulation, and I understand it comes with a business, but
how does it look if you're a casual sports fan in Arizona? oh, the Caddies just traded for a guy who didn't play last year and is never going to play again.
Or it would probably prove your ignorance to the game where you'd be like, oh, that Hossa guy, he's really good.
Yeah, didn't he win a cup in Chicago?
Yeah, I look forward to watching him play. Yeah, it's like, oh, actually,
he's
no.
He's got the gick. No.
He's not even going to be in your state. He might not be in the country, you know? So I'm with you. I don't know how they're gonna weed this out of the CBA. Well, I can't imagine it's a high priority for them.
What I would like to see with the CBA is to allow some kind of exemption for signing your own player. So if a guy's been with your team for 5 years and you re-sign him, only half his money counts against the cap, or only 60% or something. There has to be some kind of recognition of keeping a team together. It should Chicago, Pittsburgh, and these teams should not be in cap jams because they were good.
You're right. I mean, Chicago's the best example of that. Now, they continued to win even after dismantling that. That first cup team was their best team on paper.
Now, remember that they won 3 Stanley Cups with Taves and Kane making $6 million each. Since their contracts went to $10.5 each, they've won Bupkus.
Yes. Haven't won a round.
Haven't won a round.
Yes.
So it's a very different situation for Chicago now. And even, but to your point, even when they were winning, they'd have to strip their team down because they were, you know, like
guys were going to get paid.
Well, San Jose offer-sheeted Nicholas Hjalmarsson. They matched it, but that forced Niemi loose. They had to trade Ladd. They had to trade Bufflin. They obviously didn't want to. Pittsburgh doesn't want to have to trade all these guys. LA didn't want to have to trade all those guys. They have to. And I just, the whole thing I find offensive in that it's socialism. It's enforced parity. Like, our team is scouted and drafted and developed and did a real good job getting players. And now you punish us because we won?
Well, but here's where that's a slippery slope. 18-year-old kids coming into the league would say, well, why aren't you standing up for me? I don't want to be drafted by that team. I want to go wherever I want.
Right, and you're absolutely right. I mean, my friends in Europe, that I go over to England every year to go to soccer games, right? And my friends in England always laugh when North Americans lecture them about the free markets and the free enterprise system. They're like, look at your sports. You have entry-level caps. You have a draft. You have salary caps, you have limits on where players can go. There's nothing that in Europe. You want the best 18-year-old? Go get them.
Yeah, go pay for them.
Go pay. And I mean, they've had almost no franchise turnover in England. In the last 100 years, I think 3 teams have gone into what they call administration, like bankruptcy. No one ever moves. The market, now they have relegation. And that's a very different system. So they have 4 levels of teams. They have relegation, so the market kind of finds its way through. And
soccer, for the most part, has a monopoly on the sports scene. That's another thing. They get such amazing support, where in North America and in the States in particular, it's a more dogged market.
LeBron James was right. When Steph Curry signed an extension with the Warriors, he said he's worth twice that.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. Do you think Sidney Crosby's not worth more than $8.7 million?
It's ridiculous.
Like, if it was a free market and every year he could re-up and there was no salary cap, when Shanahan came aboard, he would have gone to Crosby and said, here's $30 million a year. Here's $40 million a year. You would pay, like, McDavid as an 18-year-old, how hyped he was?
Yeah.
And the Leafs, how bad they were?
Now,
if he wanted to come here, he could have signed the most outrageous number you've ever seen.
And the league will say that at the start of the year, every team has belief that if your team is well-run and well-managed, you have a chance to win the cup. And I get that. They want as many teams in as possible. Somewhere between this hard salary cap and complete free agency, there is, I think, a way for teams to be rewarded for signing their own players. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I just think that if a guy, and when he leaves, his full contract counts. So he's more valuable to your team than he is to any other team.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't like it. I think these trades stink.
It doesn't feel right.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's a blatant circumvention. We know it. And
Chicago gave them basically, so they got Marcus Kruger back, who was a guy, you know, they liked him, a penalty killer. But the Blackhawks gave Arizona Vinny Hinostroza to take Hossa.
Because the cap space is worth that.
Like, what's going to happen? If Milan Lucic gets traded by Edmonton, they're going to have to give the team that takes him a sweetener to take him.
Yep. That's what you see a lot of times in the NBA. And that's where the NHL is with the hard cap. And it's even more complicated and
The NHL's cap is harder than the NBA's.
There's no flexibility. The NBA's a soft cap. NHL, there's none. So get used to it. It's going to happen even more until they change the way they approach handing out long-term deals. And that's going to have to be in the CBA.
In 2020, when there's a lockout?
That'll be the hill they'll die on.
I'll bet you you'll see, if the players reopen, you'll see shorter contracts. Like the maximum will be 5 years. The most you can give in signing bonus will be 50%. Because now, like John Tavares' contract is almost all signing bonus. He never makes more than $1 million in salary in any of the 7 years.
It's all because of the lockouts. It's all to avoid that.
And we're heading for another one.
More than likely. We'll head overseas and catch up with our boy Mark Masters, get an update from Wimbledon, get his take on what it was like being over there when England lost yesterday in the semifinals. Gordon Miller's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Our boy Mark Masters. Is he a tennis reporter? Hockey reporter? How would you describe Mark?
I would describe Mark as a multi-sport specialist. I would say tennis and hockey are his specialties, but he could report on anything.
Yeah, I think he's been to the Olympics before.
World Junior? He's been to the World Junior.
World Juniors, absolutely.
He's been there with us before. He's never done anything interesting off the air.
I know, it really concerns me.
Like all the years I've been traveling with him, he's never done anything interesting.
This really bothers me. Like, Paris, New York, London.
Every year.
Every single year.
Yeah.
He's there for weeks on end. Those are three of the great cities in the world. I've been lucky enough to travel to all three, and I can attest, it's amazing. Like, you cannot be more alive than when you are alive in those cities.
Yeah.
It's just the everything about it.
If you go to bed before midnight in New York.
Any of them.
Yeah.
But New York in particular.
And you're not sick?
Yeah. Like, I guess maybe because the U.S. Open is out in Flushing.
15 minutes from downtown.
Yeah, you can still get to Manhattan. There's no excuse.
You get the 7 train, you're there in no time.
Yeah. And Wimbledon, I guess, is technically not right downtown London, but London's so big. Wimbledon.
15 minutes
right.
On the tube.
Jump on the tube. Yeah.
Now, Paris is a little trickier.
It's outside of Paris.
It's on the outskirts, yeah.
All right, let's get to the bottom of this, because this guy, I think he's got the best gig going. Again, Paris for 2 weeks, London for 2 weeks, New York for 2 weeks, and then covers the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's our main man over in London covering Wimbledon for TSN. Here's Mark Masters. Mark, do you party at all? I mean, I know we've had these conversations before, but what are you doing in these amazing cities? Please tell me you're living it up.
Trying to find trivia nights, of course. Need to polish up my skills. But no, they're long days. I mean, you're up at 9, back probably around 9, so there's not much partying here. There's Middle Sunday at Wimbledon, which is different from the other slams, so it's a full day, no tennis. We don't really do much. I get a nice sleep in. I saunter over to the club, have a nice lunch, and early to bed, get ready for the second week because it's so big. So there's not much partying
in it. Masters, honestly.
What?
Mark.
What?
You're in London, for God's sakes. Go to Mayfair.
Yeah. The tennis is excitement enough for me. It's been amazing, guys. Amazing tennis here.
Mark, when's the last time you stayed up till 3 in the morning?
3 in the morning? I cannot recall. 3 in the morning, I'm sure there was a hockey overtime game, playoff game in recent memory that I might have been watching.
Yeah.
Well, there was a triple overtime game I covered in the Cup final, Chicago-Boston. Definitely was up late that night.
When's the last time you stayed up past 3 in the morning for non-work-related reasons?
Why would I? Gee, you got to get your sleep, guys. It's not healthy. Get in a good solid 8 hours. That's what the doctor recommends.
Yeah.
Maybe 7?
He makes a good point. I mean, I will give. He is a youthful-looking man over there. I mean, he is on top of things. And what was it like? Did you get a chance to get out and watch the soccer game at all? I mean, what was that like yesterday, being in London, especially during the heartbreak of the second half and extra time?
I didn't see much of it because it was an amazing sports day. I wish they could figure out how not to have these great sporting events conflict. World Cup happens every 4 years. Wimbledon has changed its schedule. A couple of years ago, they moved it back a week so that the grass court season could be a bit longer. The transition between clay and grass used to be just 2 weeks after the French Open ended, right into Wimbledon. Now it's 3 weeks. But as a result, we got a situation now where the World Cup is happening and the finals will actually probably, there'll be a little crossover, the men's final on Sunday with the World Cup final. So not ideal. But all these great quarterfinals were happening on Wednesday, including Milos Raonic was playing, which, of course, was my prime objective that day. And then Juan Martín Del Potro was playing an incredible match against Rafael Nadal, maybe the best match of the tournament. That was just fantastic stuff. And then, of course, England. So you got it on your computer. You got different monitors. You're trying to get out to the courts. So you're following it on social media. I was on the ground. I did hear some roars. England scored early in the game, but for the most part, I was fixated on the tennis. I will say that when Milos was coming in to do his interviews, that's when extra time was happening, and I was around a lot of the staff members waiting. There was a monitor with a soccer game on, and I felt like a therapist with the way they were emotionally going up and down and getting mad at the Croatians for diving and how could this happen, but then convincing themselves that it was actually a good result in the end. So that was my only brush with the England game, but obviously it's overshadowed to a large degree so far early in this tournament, the tennis here in England at least.
So Mark, Federer loses to Anderson in the first match on court one, and then Raonic comes out to play Isner, and there's literally no one there.
Yeah,
like there empty. It looked like there were fewer than 100 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
How odd was that?
Terrible. I mean, it was really odd for a Grand Slam quarterfinal, and Raonic admitted he noticed it. He said it didn't affect him. He kind of look up and say, this place is dead for a Grand Slam Wimbledon quarterfinal. It was so bad, they were actually posting on the big board facing, the big video board facing the hill. They said, there are anyone who wants to go to court one, go right ahead. No tickets. We will not check. Just go sit there, because the England game was happening, and after 4+ hours of Federer losing, a lot of fans just said, I got my tennis fill today. I'm going to go watch the England game. And that was the end of that. And also, if you had a ticket on the grounds, you're probably preferring to watch. And let's say you could not get to center court. A lot of fans were preferring to be on the hill and watch the Nadal Del Potro match, which was that good. Whereas Raonic and Isner, God bless them, they don't play the most entertaining style of tennis. A lot of big serves, a lot of short points. So that certainly contributed to it. But it was bizarro world to see. I think it was less than half full court number one for a Wimbledon quarterfinal. Just weird scene.
With Mark Masters, who's over at Wimbledon, and as you mentioned, Raonic is out. Jeannie Bouchard left a long time ago. Bouchard is a fascinating case study for me, because it was 4 years ago, I believe, when she stormed all the way to a Wimbledon final, and that was the magical year where she was in the semis multiple times, and her stardom just blew up, and she became so marketable, and Nike jumped on board, and all these different magazines, and now her play, it's just awful. Like, it's completely fallen apart, Mark, and I feel for her now. Like, I've gotten to a point where there's, like, pity involved and sympathy involved, because you interview her after she gets knocked out of all these tournaments, and it sounds like the exact same answer every single time. It's right around the corner. I feel great about my game. I mean, that's got to be difficult for you, Mark, because you're asking these questions, and you kind of know what answers are coming, but it's the same answer you heard last year at Wimbledon and 2 years ago at the French Open. It's just the same thing all the time with Jeannie Bouchard.
Yeah, and I will say this, the mere fact she was at Wimbledon in the main draw was a victory, right? She entered 188th. She had to qualify to get in, so she won 3 matches, and she won a first round. It was a really easy draw against a British wildcard, but she got it done in 3 sets, so she's going to gain like 40 spots in the ranking. It's a start. You know, it's the first positive sign we've seen from her, and I don't know how long since, I guess she won the lawsuit against the USTA. That was her last big victory, and it wasn't even on a tennis court. So it's been tough. Well, yeah, it's terrible. You don't, because if she had an answer, she'd do it. And she's been in this spiral, and she's been going through coaches like crazy, and she's got this 80-year-old gruff guy, Robert Lansdorf. I don't know if you caught any a look at him. It looked like he was falling asleep during half the match. But he's a legend in the coaching circuit. It's been a while since he's been on tour. He coached Tracy Austin, Maria Sharapova, Pete Sampras back in the day, Lindsay Davenport. So maybe he can unlock some of the skill. And he seems to think that the previous coaches kind of did a number on her mentally and changed her game to the point where she was hitting the ball higher over the net, where she should get back to what she was doing so well in 2014 and just hitting it as hard as humanly possible and as low as possible over the net and being as aggressive as she can be. So maybe this Lansdorf character will get her turned around, but it's been an incredible fall from grace, and everyone just shakes their head, and no one seems to have an answer for what the heck happened to the can't-miss prospect from 2014.
And meantime, Mark, a missed opportunity for Raonic yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, if you had told him all you had to do is beat Isner and Anderson and you'd be in the Wimbledon final, and that's no disrespect to those guys. They are great players in their own right. Anderson made the U.S. Open final last year, taking advantage of a great draw as well. But opportunities like this during this incredible era of men's tennis don't come around often. This is Raonic's best Grand Slam. He built his whole season around it. Unfortunately, he can't stay healthy. And I honestly get flashbacks to covering Dr. Lupo, where it just seems like every time you interview the guy, it's about, you know, how are you feeling? What's the injury? Do you think you've got this figured out? And he admits it's just getting really, really hard to fathom because it just keeps cropping up at the worst times. He had to pull out of his Wimbledon tune-up event with a pectoral strain, and then he hurts his right leg yesterday, and that was the end of the match. He wasn't going to come back to beat Isner, especially after he lost the second set tiebreak. A huge, huge missed opportunity. The upcoming group, the young players, guys like Denis Shapovalov and Alexander Sasha Zverev, even Nick Kyrgios, if he gets his act together, look like they're going to be really good. There's maybe a bit of a window here for Raonic if Federer falls off. We'll see what Nadal and Djokovic do, but this was a big missed chance.
With Mark Masters, who's over at Wimbledon, and he's been covering Wimbledon for a couple of weeks. He was in France for the French Open as well. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you missed a big, big Leaf news day on July 1st. Josh Juris is a Maple Leaf, if you can believe it, and so is John Tavares. And you're the Leaf guy. I mean, do you feel like you missed out? And when you show up, are you going to catch up with him? I mean, how are you going to react to Tavares in Toronto once you get home?
Well, that's news to me. We don't get much hockey coverage here in across the pond, so they speak. So Tavares, a Leaf, great. That is something. Yes, that news did filter out here.
I thought it might. Was there a big buzz over there or what?
We share space with the ESPN International group, and so there was a bunch of Argentinians around me when that happened, and they did not seem to be as excited as I was about this development and how it was going to impact the landscape of ice hockey, as they call it back home. But when it broke, I told my cameraman, Dean Willers, I was just like, the Leafs have signed Tavares. He didn't believe me. I had to show it to him on my phone, and it was kind of surreal as a guy who grew up in Toronto, and we've been waiting for a guy who's from this city to kind of come home and live that dream, right? It's always been the team, you know, who wants to come back, the big bad media and the pressure, the team's not very good, and it's incredible how far, you know, things have come in just a couple of years, and it's extraordinarily exciting to see what this team's going to be able to do and see what Tavares can do, and he should be fired up. And I'm pumped to get to the pre-training camp skates or whatever is going to happen, of course, after the U.S. Open. But I'm excited to see Tavares, and I've already seen the pictures of him in blue with him and Belfry on the ice, the skills coach, and it's exciting times. Who would have thunk it, eh?
Mark, it's 11:30 at night in London.
Yes.
Okay, where are you going?
Well, I'm in bed right now reading the 20 pages of notes the ATP has given me here on the big Djokovic-Rafa Nadal match tomorrow, which should be absolutely incredible.
What
so
time
I'm getting
is that
geared
match?
Up for that.
What time is that match at?
Well, it starts second on center. So the Isner-Anderson's at 1 p.m., 8 a.m. Eastern on TSN. And that will be followed. So let's say that goes two and a half hours. Probably be on around 3:34 tomorrow, maybe a little later.
So you have basically 16 hours.
Like,
hop on the tube, go downtown.
Go live, man. Just
like, for seriously.
Me. For me, Masters.
Seriously.
Let me live vicariously through you. Go and have a blast.
Do you understand, Mark, that if Brian and I were in London, if we were uh-huh. doing your job, do you understand? Like, we'd get to...
I don't even know where we'd go. I don't know the city well enough, but it'd be a great night.
I'll take care of it.
It'd be a great night.
I have ventured to the city once or twice. I went to the Canada, the Maple Leaf Pub or whatever it is.
Yes.
And I watched a CFL game. That was pretty awesome a couple middle Sundays ago. So,
really? They played
you know
the CFL?
You wild man.
Wow.
They
you
didn't
wild
know what I was
man,
talking yeah. about. She was very confused. I think she thought I was weird, but put on Saskatchewan, Toronto, and then got home early that night. So I've explored. I think the Stanley Cup. There's a plaque on the wall on one of the streets.
You're
there.
In
the
London. You went to a Canadian bar.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm homesick. So,
well, we miss you, buddy.
Missing home.
We miss you. Try to enjoy yourself. It sounds like you're not, but
not the way we would.
Yeah, do whatever you got to do over there, and. then enjoy the U.S. Open, and then show up at the MasterCard Center and just pepper Tavares with questions.
You and your buddy Babs.
You and Babcock.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to a little bit more pitter-patter with Coach Babcock. But I got to tell you guys, you say have fun. This tennis is, you know, matches like we've seen here, some of these matches, and I think Nadal Djokovic tomorrow will be just good. That's where I get my enjoyment. Like, I mean, Wimbledon is one of those bucket list places, and you walk on the ground, and it's still not old for me, just being there and going to work there. So that's where I get my true enjoyment here. So it's not all bad, and, you know, you're painting an interesting picture, but there's two sides to the coin here.
All right, man. Get after it, Mark.
One side is duller than the other.
We'll catch you on TSN tomorrow. Good stuff. Thanks for staying up.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Here's Mark Masters in London, bed. England.
In bed. Well, the problem in London is you can't really, the bars close pretty soon.
You get a really weird bar scene over there. It's all about pubs, right? It's all about you go right after work and then you go home at 10, 10:30, 11.
And that's why there's so much binge drinking. Right?
Yeah, you got to get out of there. That's what really threw me off. I went over there and we went out. You know, we went out for dinner, then we went out for drinks, and it was like 11 o'clock and everything's closed.
So at the Olympics in London, we were staying in Rotherhithe, which is right next to Canary Wharf. So cab drivers don't like going there because they probably can't get a fare back. So I swear to God, I walk up to a London cabbie. I'm like, hey, can you take me to Rotherhithe? He goes, I don't know. And this woman comes up and barfs on the side of his cab. Like, she fully upchecks on the side of his cab. She's like, I gotta go to whatever. Yeah, I'll take you. I'm like, you'd rather have her in your cab than me? Seriously?
How awful of a spot is your hotel when someone who's blackout drunk, throwing up all over the place, gets picked up quicker? Yeah. That's not good.
So
you're probably stuck if that's the case.
We got to pay extra. You got to pay the guy extra.
Their cab system is wild over there, too, right? Like, my understanding is, in order for you to get a license to be a cabbie over there, you have to know the shortest distance and every single spot in the city.
And apparently the test is unbelievable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, honestly, you go in there and it's grueling. It's like a like hours test where they're like, okay, you're here and you're getting there. How do you think you should get there?
And you have to call everyone Gov.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's slang.
That's fake news.
No. You have to. I think it's a rule because a governor, right? That's kind of a, hey, Gov.
Yeah, I never understood that. Like, what is that? Why is everyone governor?
I don't know.
What is that?
So when you get in the cab and the guy doesn't say Gov, I think you're getting a bad cab.
That's a one-star Uber.
I don't know if they have Uber there.
No, I don't know if they do either. Maybe Lyft or something. There's a bunch of these companies now.
But it's a great... London's a fabulous...
It's a great, great city.
Fabulously.
Yeah, great city.
And, you know, I mean, and there's Mark.
Mm-hmm. Paris, London, New York.
One time I went to a Canadian bar.
And he went to a Canadian bar to watch the Riders play the Argos. That is Masters in a nutshell. Jays are in Fenway tonight. Jay Happ on the mound, another showcase game, so to speak, for him. We'll tee that up.
Are you allowed on the road, by the way? Because I've never seen you on the road.
Me, no. I never really go anywhere. They sent us to the draft, although they didn't do that this year.
Was there an incident of some kind that's prevented you? Like, are you allowed to cross the border?
Probably. Like, they've been coy about the reasoning, so it could have been that. It could have been like, last time when you guys were down there, you said some things or did some things, or like you were out too late.
You and O-Dog, Noodles is a bat. Like, he is.
Noodles can stay up all night, get up, and on 2 hours sleep, go out and work and do whatever.
Yeah, but he doesn't go out that much. But I'm just saying, like you and O-Dog would be great. We should send O-Dog to cover Wimbledon.
That would be spectacular.
Would that be great?
Get him in there. He'd be in, like, jorts, you know, like, a backwards hat. They'd be like, what are you doing here?
How come you keep hitting the ball, like, with two hands all day? What's with that?
Heckling while the play is ongoing.
Really that match was really boring for a while, didn't you think? Yeah, mm-hmm.
We should put him in weird spots. Just try to expand whole resume.
We should do that. We should parachute him in to various sporting events. He'd be fantastic.
I don't think he'd do it. That's the problem. Like, you could pitch idea.
I will say this. I've traveled, though. It's a pain.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it.
No, that's not fake. Like, he hates traveling and flying. He likes being up north or being in the condo, and that's it. He's a Toronto guy, through and through. Or Collingwood guy.
But he traveled. But he liked NHL travel. Charter.
Very different type of travel. Yeah. You're not going through customs. Well, you would be going through customs, but not the same way.
You should have seen him in Buffalo at the World Junior.
He was not happy.
Oh.
I remember talking to him, and he was like, I'm ready to come home. This
was
has
like
been day,
that was like Boxing Day.
He'd been down there for 12 hours.
He's ready to come home.
You know, but at Buffalo, I understand that after a while. Like, Buffalo for a few days is okay. If you're in Buffalo for 2 weeks, I know it's an event and it's a job, but there's not much you can do in Buffalo. Let's be honest. There just isn't, Gordon.
So today...
Who have I taken runs at today?
You gave it to me last week for the Tavares thing, right?
Yeah.
And now today you've basically assassinated soccer fans,
mm-hmm.
The city of Buffalo,
right?
You're taking
runs masters,
at, masters. Like you,
I'm taking prisoners here, taking names.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just in one of those moods. Shout out to Buffalo and anyone that lives down there, tunes into the
great
show.
Great sports fans.
Great sports
fan. Passionate sports fan.
I was talking to a guy today, big Sabres fan. Has always been a Sabres fan. Ecstatic that they have Dahlin. But it's about, you know, you got to get going here.
You got to put the brakes on this. He's 18. Dahlin's 18.
That's not going to happen, though.
You got to pump the.
He's been hyped the way Matthews was
sure. And the way McDavid was. It's just different with a defenseman. It's just so much harder to hide them, right? It's just different. You can hide a forward a little bit, you can shelter him. Really, I mean, he's the number one pick in the draft. The average defenseman plays 20 minutes in a game. It's really hard to... And they don't have anybody else.
But he's outside of Ristolainen, that's it.
I know.
He's their best defenseman right now.
That's what they have. And I think, you know, a healthy Jack Eichel, you hope, for them. You know, the addition of Dahlin, you don't know about their goaltending.
Who is there? They got Carter Hutton. And
they've got the kid from the...
Lundmark.
Yeah.
Who Noodles is pretty high on. He likes him.
He likes him.
But he thinks he might, you know, he needs some more reps. It still could be a year or two away.
So, I mean, man, but they've been... I mean, the one thing I'll say, like, the thing about Buffalo, it's like places like Edmonton. These aren't corporate... It's Linus Ullmark. These aren't corporate seats. The people that go to games in Buffalo pay for the tickets themselves. Like they're invested in it. They purchase the tickets. They have a passion for it, and so they take it hard.
Well, and if they start getting rolling again, like with where the Leafs are right now, there are going to be so many Leaf fans going to games in Buffalo and Ottawa and Montreal and Detroit.
Yeah,
you know, like they've always traveled anyway, but now that they're this good and there's this much hype about the Maple Leafs, if the Sabres can just catch up a little bit. Those games in Buffalo on a Friday night, they are electric.
And the thing is, too, NBC, that the ratings in Buffalo for NBC are dynamite.
They with the Sabres being this bad, they're still always a top five rating for the most part in the United States. Yeah, it's a great hockey town. It's a great sports town. It's a gritty town. Like, I don't goof on Buffalo the way a lot of people goof on it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you put me there for 2 weeks... It's not like being in New York for 2 weeks or London you run out of options.
It bugs
pretty
me a little bit. Mitch Albom wrote a piece in Sports Illustrated a few years ago about Detroit and saying like the rules got changed on Detroit. Don't blame Detroit. Like Detroit's a proud city, you know. That's been through a lot of tough times. There was a time when Buffalo was the scientific and technological center of North America. Like Nikola Tesla was there. He invented alternating current there. Like. There's more Frank Lloyd Wright houses in Buffalo than anywhere else in the world.
Right. Highly populated, like top 10 populated city in the United States.
It was you know, because of the proximity to Niagara Falls, Thomas Edison spent time there. Like but
you're a Buffalo guy. I'm picking up on that.
I don't like ripping on cities.
I don't have a problem with that, but
I just think people live there, and people live there for a reason. And there's cities you like better than others, and whatever else. But what bugs me in Canada is to say, you know, I like this city, so I don't like any of the others. Like, you can't say, you know.
Let me get this straight. You're telling me, as a guy who grew up in Alberta, you were always telling people who were ripping on Toronto, I don't like that. You shouldn't do that. Leave Toronto alone.
I would say that there was times that I lived there when it sounded small. And living here, what bugs me is you can't say anywhere else in the country that you love Toronto.
Yes, exactly.
Someone from Vancouver can say, I love Vancouver. I love living here. It's the best city. Good. I'm glad you like it. I can say the same thing about Toronto, but I can also say the same thing about Calgary or any other numbers. I mean, there's reason people live in these cities. And I guess what I'm saying is there's this idea, and it extends to a larger sense to patriotism, the idea that patriotism is hating other countries. Patriotism is the love of your own country. Hating other countries is xenophobia.
Like it is unless that country gives you a reason to hate.
Right, but
I mean, historically, there have obviously been times where that...
But hating Sweden is stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to do
that. It's a great country full of fabulous people.
But if you're Finnish, you know, I don't know the history there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Even then, like, the United States is our rival in a lot of things. I don't hate the United States. I love the United States.
Yeah.
Love going there. I mean, I just think this idea that, I love this city, so I hate all the others. No, thanks. I'm a Canadian. I get to like them all.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I can't think of a Canadian place that I hate. I don't hate any city.
You seem to have it in for Montreal.
No, actually, I love Montreal. I love
you
Montreal.
You don't like the Canadians.
The Habs and Habs fans. But that's that's a built-in rivalry and a built-in hatred, I guess.
We got to get Mitch Melnick on this show sometime.
Yeah, well, Mitch is on at the same time. But we used to, like when we were at the lunch, we would have Mitch on quite often.
At the lunch.
But I know that Mitch... I know this. He probably hates that Tavares signed in Toronto. I'll bet you he hates it. You go on with him quite often. You could probably answer that
every
for
Wednesday.
Me. I'll bet you he hates it. And I bet you he hates that the Leafs are going to get this much attention and everyone's going to love them. And
we've been getting the wind-up sign for like 3 minutes.
All right. Well, think about that. You speak for Melnick when we come back.
Sure.
All right? Get to our best bets brought to you by Proline as well. With Gordon Miller, I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Tribe at home against the Yankees tonight, under the number. I don't know why, but I'm going under the number tonight in the Jays Sox game. I think Price and Hap bounces back tonight. Showcase game for him.
Okay.
And the Dodgers Road Plus in San Diego. Throwing out 20, you can score 110. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, Gord. Tomorrow, skip the dishes. We will be ordering.
Oh, yeah. They saved me last week. Go to the cottage. It's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, you took that whole wheel all the way up north.
Crushed it.
Good for you. Tomorrow, I will not be taking a pass. Last week, I was eating clean for whatever reason. Tomorrow, I will be getting after
it. That fat is come and gone?
It's absolutely out the window. I'm going to skip the dishes tonight, actually. I am starving.
I'm making the cardinal sin. I'm going grocery shopping right now. I'm going to Sobeys. Hungry.
Yep, you're done.
Never go grocery shopping when you're hungry.
Don't ever do that. But you're going to do that.
I'm going to do that.
Good man. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
I'll be here at 3:59.
You'll be here at 3:59. We'll chat then.